All right, well, we're past the halfway point now. And as we started with that wonderful word couple, the acronym out of it, remember the C was for to be close. Again, equally yoked together with believers. Seek that out. Pray. I wanted to point out again, too, you know, sometimes it's difficult to find friends, find significant others that really love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might. Be patient. The Lord will always bring you exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think when we are patient and treasure and go after the Word of God. Anytime you're impatient, anytime you compromise, you'll be sorry. You'll wish you had, as opposed to praising the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm so thankful by the grace of God, I did. So these are things to really take to heart. We went to, from that to the O for open, knowing that we need to be open with one another, that communication and love, so vital that we don't provoke one another to wrath, that there's a gentleness and a kindness in us. And that's going to carry over today in our letter P. But then, let's see, C-O-U, there we go. Then the U is understanding. And I'm hoping I have full understanding today, even though I'm tired. But we saw that this morning, we need to have the tenderness of God really come into our lives to want to understand the other, to not just, again, be sympathetic. We read that and saw that sympathy, that's not what the Lord is after in that feeling. That's not of God, that emotional thing. That's not of what He gives us. He gives us truly that tenderness. He gives us, praise God, not just sympathy, but empathy to truly have the mind of Christ and the heart of God when we are dealing with ones that are significant to our life. And now, with that precious understanding and taking the time to care, believe it or not, about what the other person says and about the position of the other person. Now again, we're not caught up in the other person, but in the love of God, we care for that other person as we care for ourselves. Under the hand of God, we want His mind, His love, His wisdom to reign in our relationships. So as we go after that understanding, it makes this next one so much more easy. We become so much more willing to embrace, to be a peace seeker in our relationships. And let's begin with reading Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. A lot of times we think that my perfect peace is going to be predicated upon me just being super optimistic. It's going to work out my way. This is going to work out for me in a sense, in a natural way that I see this event working out in my life. That's not peace. Peace is having the mind of Christ and having your mind stayed upon Him. Basically, what He's saying there is on the Word of God. And what the Word of God assures us as we walk in His Spirit is He perfects that which concerns us. He absolutely will, again, take everything because we love God and He'll work all things together for your good. That is a mind that is stayed upon Him, His truth. Then you go on down to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the two things that we see here that require for us to have peace is, first of all, the mind that is stayed upon Him, the Word. In order to have peace in our lives, it has to be the Word of God. Now we go back to the beginning of the study, and why is that? Because how does your life live? And the life you have is Christ in you, amen? And we understand that now your life, this life of Christ that lives in you, lives one way by the faith of the Son of God. And there is but one faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we understand that peace is the Word of God, and then peace, praise God, comes by praying. And I love how the Word of God brings out the prayer of faith. Praying in accordance with the Word of God, believing the Word of God for your life. And that's why it's again so important as we go back through all of these studies, know the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Be taught the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I thank the Lord for, again, His perfection is so amazing. It's all there for us. But Lord, give me the unction. Give me the energy. Give me the desire to go after you. Amen? Amen. It's all there because His life lives in you. And you think about, here's the keys, praise God, to life. They're all over the Word of God. It's all in Christ, and Christ lives in you. It's just for that life to grow up, to understand, to become enlightened. It's again, as we've been talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that takes you into all truth. Amen? Not just some, but into all of it. And then you go on and understand about the love of God. It's the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5, who takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart. It's the Holy Ghost in Ephesians that even Christ says, to know the love of Christ. And that passes knowledge, but He says you can know the love of Christ in every single dimension because of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And that's what this is about here, is about His precious Word and prayer. And thank God that we can pray even, and it goes on to say in Jude 24 and 25, verses 24 and 25, we've been reading about that, praying in the Holy Ghost. Isn't that something? Praying in the Holy Ghost. You have that, those that are filled with the Holy Ghost, those that are, again, wanting and desiring to be filled. Desire to be filled. That is the power of His might prayer. That's the prayer that will bring you the absolute assurance and knowledge of the peace that passes all understanding that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want that in my relationships. I want peace. Don't you? Do you like to get into relationships just to fight? Sometimes I see him and I say, wow, that's what you did to get in a boxing match, didn't you? You know? But really, we want to be peace seekers. Well, the Lord tells us how it comes. It comes through His Word, and it comes through prayer. And we thank God that we can abound in that very simply. So bottom line, again, be spiritual. Walk in the Spirit. Love the Word, the truth. And let it live through you. Don't let it be something that's just in my head, something that I just put to memory, something that I put on my car, or something that's just upon a wall in my house, that truly this is my life. Let it live. Let it shine. Let God, again, give you that absolute desire and reality that this is who I am, this Word of God. And walk in love. See, that's what's so important as well, too. The Scriptures tell us speaking, or our whole manner of life, be truth in love. Truth in love. You can go to 1 Corinthians 13. You could have given everything you have to the poor. You could have the faith to move mountains. You could speak with the tongue of men and angels. You could even have the knowledge of all mysteries. But without love, it profits nothing. It's of zero effect. And that's why it's so important in letting the Word of God live through us. The only way it's going to be empowered and living in us and alive is with the love of God. And that's what the grace of God does. And it's a passion thing. It's not something we try. You can't cook it up. That's why you need to know about Jesus and understand about His love. And again, that taking that grace of God to understand that He did this for you, even though He did it for all of us, This is mine. This is my personal relationship with Christ. It's my personal Savior. And as we were speaking of a couple lessons back, He's my personal bridegroom too. He's just amazing how He does that, isn't it? You know, when He gets me alone, I'm telling you, I feel sorry for you all, but you know, I have a table for two, intimate dinners, candlelights with Him. But you'd look back at me and say, well, wait a second, I was at that dinner too. And you weren't there, Jess. Because that's why He's just God and He's so incredible, is that we can understand that and He draws us into that. And you have to think about how beautiful our Lord is. He's the head, isn't He? He's the head, amen? Here's the body. Here's the body. And see, the rib portion, that bridal company, she's a body all to herself, from out from among the body of believers. She's that little rib portion. As Eve was made, the bride, the wife for Adam, he was asleep. See, most of Christianity is asleep to this message. We know this. A lot of you are hearing this for the first time or coming into this. And the beautiful thing is you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll say, well, my goodness, it does say that. I've said it many times like this. You all have seen those pictures and paintings with a hidden picture with all of these colors and spots and shapes and things like that. And they say, okay, there's an eagle in there. And you look at it and it just is like, no, it's just a bunch of colors. No, there's an eagle in there. You'll see it when it's outlined. Well, see, what the Holy Ghost does is He enlightens all of the line of what the picture is. And then you see the picture in the picture. And then every time you look at that, you don't go back to seeing the old stuff. You always see that eagle popping out. And that's what the Holy Ghost is. You'll go on with Him and you'll receive the truth in love. That same message will continue to pop out from everywhere in the Word of God. It's incredible. I'm serious. My hair's standing up on my arms thinking about it. Because that's our God. That's how much He loves us. And that's how incredible His wooing is. So we go on in that, and we go on in these spiritual things, and we walk in this great love wherewith we are loved. We mentioned this a little bit earlier too. Be a restorer and not a destroyer. God, help us not to tear down our lives or someone else's. A double-minded man is a destructive thing. You don't want to go that way. We don't want to, by the grace of God, go in our minds in judgment and condemnation. Legality does that when we begin to judge one another. It is the grace of God that any one of us are here, that we go on with the Lord. So we build up one another and we don't tear one another down. Now here's some evidence of the Christ in you peace seeker. See, you aren't a peace seeker. Naturally, we're all destroyers. We are. Only Christ in us is the peace seeker. And here's peace testimony. The testimony of peace is being forgiven and forgiving. And a lot of times, as I just said that, we can't really be forgiving until we allow our lives to really accept and embrace that, you know what, I've been forgiven. We hold a lot of guilt, don't we, about some things. There's a lot of things in our life that we wish we hadn't done. But yet, you know, the Lord encouraged my heart a long time back. There was a sermon and it meant so much to my heart. And the title of it was, It Didn't Have to Be, But It Had to Be. Sometimes we have to go the way of a tremendous failure, a tremendous bad decision that God allows in our life to get a hold of us. Obviously, we see that in every life in the Word of God, especially magnified in the life of David. Did he have to go after Bathsheba? Did he have to kill Uriah? Did he have to try to hide it? No, he didn't have to. And God did not necessarily will that for his life, but God saw that for his life in ages past in Christ, always in Christ. And he knew that would be the way that David would come to be and continue to be the man after God's own heart. Isn't that amazing? Every Christian can rejoice in that and thank God in that. And oh, King David, and how beautiful. But man, you make a mistake, you dirty scoundrel. God's never going to forgive you. And you think about how Nathan the prophet came to him and did point out. He said, now, David, you're that man. You're that man. But after all of that was received, and as David repented and came unto God and had that wonderful restoration with the Lord of that freedom, that deliverance that had already been and always been there, but it freed his spirit. He said, before thee and thee only have I sinned. Isn't that amazing? See, we want to have the, you know, great inquisition here and, you know, bring people out and have this be some court hearing. Well, I need to hear it, and this is what I need. By the grace of God, when you fail, it's between you and the Lord. Now, if you've hurt someone, if it's affected someone's life, by the grace of God, I would be encouraged to go to them and say, I'm sorry if I've offended you, but we need now to go on. Before the Lord only have I sinned. Some very important things. Be gracious. That's what peace testimony is. You know, there's a lot of people that walk around with a chip. You know, I can see the button to push, as we talked about those. You can see, I mean, just think about the dynamics of this camp. You know, things go wrong. I could, you know, you could just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to chirp this off, and, well, we'll set that, and you be the matches, and I'll be the gasoline, and we'll just get together, and how about that, again, as we'll get to that soft answer that turns away wrath? Does anybody really like conflict in this room? Then why do we let this thing set it off all the time? And it's the truth. By the grace of God, pray. Again, going back, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. There's a lot of things that the Lord can deal with you before you open your mouth. And out of the abundance of this heart, the mouth speaks. And I sure want an abundance of love by the grace of God, don't you? Amen. Because you do have an abundance of love in Christ in you. Again, it's just being in tune with that Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Being long-suffering, being patient, that is such a wondrous testimony of peace. That we don't just get riled up and we just want something done real fast. And that's something that the Lord has really had to temper me with. Because I see things in my mind and they're very clear. And everybody should see my clear mind. And if you don't, you're not clear, and we got to get on with this thing. But it don't work that way. Now, there'll be times, there can't be time for messing around. But there's always time for patience and long-suffering. And again, this is letting God do the work. Sometimes we like to think that we can get our hands in there, little lumps of clay, which have no hands to get in there, so don't. And let Him do the work. Gentleness. Love through difficult times. That's a real testimony of peace. A lot of times we get to the point where it's beyond us. The time, the situation we're facing, we're exhausted, we're tired, we've been tried, and then another wave hits. By the grace of God, to be gentle. Again, to love as Christ loves. That life that lives in us, that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured that cross for you. And it was a joy. It wasn't just some duty that He had to do that, well, I'm just going to grin and bear this through this. I always remember the Lord gave me such a vision, and that wasn't in a dream, but of the Lord with that cross that He bore for us. And as they whipped Him and beat Him, and as He carried that cross, even for that moment of time before the one helped Him bear that cross to be again nailed upon it. But all of that blood and His visage marred more than any man's, and all of that blood just dripping from Him, and His body so whipped, and He just looked like a piece of just ripped up flesh. And yet underneath it all, I saw the smile, the joy that he was going to finish it for me and for you. It was a joy. That same joy, by God's grace, was given to Paul as he was in that prison, as he was ready to face the beheading, as he was whipped, and he was, again, they turned from that message. He said, all in Asia had forsaken me. Boy, he had times where those ones, those bridal saints, were just jumping out of their seats. Oh, I love it. That's what we're going to hear. That's the greatest thing there is. Let's get out all the stone tablets and just chip it in there. Get it all over the world. Now they tell me they just want to put it all over the internet. But that fades so fast, doesn't it? When the real suffering sets in, when the tough gets going, it's the ones that are really in love that will go on. That's true. See, it's love that's going to get you to go on. You think you're going in your own might, I'll tell you what, you eventually won't go. You think you're going out of this in duty and discipline, eventually it ain't going to be. Because I'm going to tell you something, the Father is the one that has sent the Spirit to seek out the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. Do we all remember what the word worship means in the Greek? Drawing nigh in fervent love to kiss. Now, why would the Father be looking for the one that worshiped his Son like that? Because it's the time of the Father that sent the one to seek out the bride for his Son that's fervently in love with his Son. And the one thing I'm thankful to the Lord, my wife did not marry me to wash my clothes and cook my food and to just serve me. Brother Michael brought that out again yesterday. She married me because she drew nigh in fervent love to have me. And in having me, she gladly does take care of me as I take care of her. Isn't that amazing? How simple the story is. It's so evident, is it not? But see, as we just go on in life and we think, well, we're just going through these bridal motions, God knows. Now, that's not something I want to think about and get weird about. You know, we've got a couple getting ready to be married. I don't think Cody's contemplating, wait a second, does Taylor really love me, or is this just some, you know, crazy thing that she just wants to wash my clothes? Well, I guarantee you, looking at her, she ain't, you know. I think you dirty up your clothes pretty quick, you know. She loves you. You rest, amen? And Taylor, you don't worry about him and his care for you. You get married, you're going to get on the spot, so you better get used to it. But you rest in his love. I'm not worried about it. I don't wonder if Jesus loves me. I don't wonder where his heart is. I don't think about where, you know, his affection is. It's solid. And then I'm completely confident in that it is his perfect and absolute, complete, and only will is to finish me for that. And that he does all the workmanship. And that he will perform, perfect, and finish the good work that he's begun in me. Not that I've already attained or apprehended it, but the one thing I do is, Brother Paul said, I have complete confidence in him. I'm forgetting all those things behind. I'm only looking to him, his grace, that's going to perform that to absolute perfection in my life. Amen? Isn't that the grace of God that we look to? And then we walk in it, and we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Next, self-control, consistent and tempered. Now, this is a big one. Huge for the peace testimony. If I'm an emotional one all over the place, how is that peace? I blew up at you. But I did say I was sorry, but then I'm just a repeat offender and I keep doing that. That's not peace seeking. When I'm really intent, and it kind of goes down to the next one, be quick to apologize. When you're wrong, you're wrong. Say, I'm sorry. Say, I was wrong. But then it doesn't end there. Ask the Lord, help me to change. I don't want to be a repeat offender in a sense that continues to do the same thing. And that dovetails right back into the self-control, consistent, tempered. I don't want to be all over the chart. How can I be in a relationship with someone when they don't even know who they're dealing with the next day? We need to pray, don't we? And I want to be consistent in love, not consistent in, yeah, he's just always cranky. I want to be consistent in joy, and I want that to increase. The only thing is I want to be more apparent by the grace of God is that there's more Christ in me, the hope of glory that's coming forth. But these are huge things when we really love one another, when we really care for one another. We have to get our minds and our thoughts off of us. And here's the golden nuggets of that precious peace testimony. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Boy, there's that tender-hearted. Kindness. And what do? Forgive one another. And here's the key. As God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is so sweet to my heart. This is the key to Christ's forgiveness. This is the key to his love and kindness flowing through our lives. Always see the cross. You start to get bitter, you start to get angry, you start to be self-consumed about what just happened to you. By the grace of God, may I see the cross. May I see what Christ Jesus did for me on that cross. And in that absolute conviction, I will forgive, I will forget, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's all powerful, because he is the only one that was truly innocent. For us, the only thing we deserved was death because of our sin. But God, in his great love wherewith we are loved. Huh? Praise the Lord. This isn't a guilty thing. This is a praise and thanks thing. Thanking God for what his son has done for you, to have that same love to flow through us. Always see Christ on the cross for you. Amen? Praise God. That shows me, again, of his great love for my guilt, that he took me, that whom he has made free is free indeed. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. And it sure does. Somebody come at you hard and fast, you engage in it. Again, that's just the gasoline on the fire. Let the abundance of the love of God speak through you. I think about Stephen, you know, as they beat him and all of those different things. He just, you know, smiled and looked up the glow that was upon him as Jesus Christ encouraged his life to say the same things as Christ himself said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Praise the Lord. That's the love that actually lives in you. Even if you think you're a fiery one, that's your tendency. You do have that love in your life. Ephesians 4:26, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a huge one. I always have a good story on that. There was one time early on in my marriage, I was going to show my wife how mad I was. And I was going to go sleep on the couch. And I laid there for about an hour and 15 minutes. And I thought, wow, this don't feel good. And I don't like being by myself. And this is really stupid. So, in gentleness, this isn't just a, you know, when something goes down, say, oh, no, we can't let the sun go down and just get in the other person's face and say, we got to handle this, we got to handle this. We, you know, That ain't going to work either, because where's the patience and long-suffering in that? And that's not gentle. That's obnoxious. Gentleness, kindness, love, to say, honey, this isn't who we are. This isn't what God has brought us to. We need the Lord to come in for this. And I'm sorry to offend. And be that one that truly and sincerely say, you know, you think about it. You did not get married to fight. Fight about a car payment. I talked to the kids that are getting married. You didn't get married to fight about bills. You didn't even get married to fight over your kids. You got married because you couldn't be apart because you love one another. Amen? This applies all the way through, but it's getting a little deeper as we go along about seeking peace, getting through all the confusing things. And as I said, that double-minded man that's unstable in all of his ways, we don't want that kind of a mind. We want the mind of Christ that is, again, in perfect peace. How beautiful and how wonderful. So, peace, as we go on, is not peace with man. It's not. Peace is peace with God. That's what the peace is. Sure, we seek peace with all men as much as lies within us, but what lies within us? The peace with God. Amen? That's what that is. See, peace isn't compromising God's word. That's one of the oldest tricks of the devil. And he gets us to think that compromising is the way to go. Oh, I still love the Lord, but I can't stand so much, or it's just going to really tip the ship. You ever been there? Huh? Maybe out of fear, even as parents with their kids. Well, I fear if I stand too much in the Word of God and say this isn't going to happen in my home, they're going to leave. Well, I remember my Lord and Savior encouraging my heart a long time back, even with my little guys. And as the schools, look, let me tell you something. You never abuse anybody. You never abuse your child. You never hit out of anger. You be in control in the love of God. You raise your child correctly, and those instances shouldn't probably even be there very much. But there will be times for correction. But I remember when the big thing came out about social services, and, you know, they were reporting the kids about, you know, if, you know, your parent ever gets, you know, might give you a slap or a spank or something like that, you know, you just come and you know, this is wrong and you can't be doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, we'll call social services. Well, I got that straightened with my kids. I said, number one on the dial, the speed dial, will be social services, so that you don't even have to look it up. You want to go that way? Go ahead and make your call. If you don't think this is the house you want to be in, that you're loved in, go for it. And thanks be to God, it wasn't a problem. You get on a little bit later in life, and parents, you're going to face things like parties, alcohol, and all those different things. And we get a lot of stupid ideas when we listen to the enemy to compromise. And then a lot of fear comes in. Well, if I don't do this, then they're going to do that. And at least I could have watched them, or I could have done this. Stand in the Word of God. Don't move. You'll be so thankful you did. And you stand in love and in communication. Remember, as we go back to communicate, communicate to your children why. Communicate to your children, again, that this is, we're of the Lord. I know it doesn't appear that way, but believe it or not, the Bible even tells us, hey, folks, we're aliens to this place. And yeah, you can go put on your movie hat and whatever, aliens to this place, that means we're not from here. Exactly. When we are born of God, our citizenship is where? In heaven. We are of Him. Praise the Lord. We're not from here. By the grace of God, what lives in us doesn't act like things that are here. It keeps us from it. And I thank God that we can yield to it. So again, your peace is peace with God. And your peace with God grows and becomes the peace of God, the peace of God. See, we have peace with God because of the blood of Jesus. That's why you have peace with God. And you'll always have peace with God because you know what? He's your Father. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, God is your Father. And you always have that peace with Him in that regard. But now you can have His actual peace, the peace of God. And the way we have the peace of God, believe it or not, is when we obey the Word. Is that right? Do you really have peace in your heart when you're defiant? Do you feel really good about yourself when you know that you are in the act of something that God is not condoning for your life? Oh, you may be okay as you're in it, but sometimes even when you're in it, God, I'll tell you, God was so gracious to my life, that when I was going out to do the wrong, my gut started hurting so bad. It was like, oh my goodness, can't I at least, I remember having a couple of those conversations with God, can't I just have one? Nope, wasn't going to happen. His love was convicting. Sure, I made my mistakes, don't get me wrong. But I know those precious times that, man, did I want to. But God laid it down. Sure, He physically stopped things too. Amazingly how He's done things. All of us know that. But I'm talking about where He stops the heart. You know what I'm saying? Where He stops the heart. That's the greatest thing. Is when this heart starts aching for Jesus. And you want to, but you can't. And you might even get mad. Well, Lord, I should feel this anger. I should want to get back at it. But, you know, I can't help it. Lord, I want to love this guy. That's the Lord taking over your life. How awesome. The peace of God, obeying the Word of God. And notice here, not out of duty, but because of love. Amen? See, I want to have interaction with you. You don't owe me a thing. I love you. I want you to love me. It's acts of loving kindness. That's what the Bible calls due benevolence between a husband and wife. It's because we love one another, not because you owe me. If we ever think people owe us, the only thing we're owed, naturally speaking, is death. Remember that. But for the grace of God, right? And again, it's the peace that passes all understanding that keeps our hearts and minds through what? All things. Be thankful that you yielded. Isn't that the greatest thing when you yield? Aren't you thankful to God for the grace of God that you stand back? It's like you're an out-of-body experience all the way through your life if you really know yourself. It's even like right now, I know this is just God. Absolutely. Unequivocally. Because this isn't Jesse. This is what God does. And I stand back and I say, you know, thank you, Lord, that I yielded. There's always a cost. Always. You go on with God, there's a cost. Yeah. But that cost is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. It's not worthy to even be uttered in the same sentence, in the same universe, of what God has prepared for them that love Him. It's amazing, again, what He does for us. Now, one of the greatest testimonies, as we close this up, of the love of God working was Joseph and his brothers. Remember that story about Joseph and his brothers? They really wronged him. But you know what, that guy? He still loved them. I don't read of any bitterness. And I'm sure there was a tax at time, don't get me wrong. Joseph wasn't just cut out of a different flesh cloth. It was all flesh. But he loved them. And you think, how could that be that he loved them? Because he received the grace to trust and desire God's word to rule. See, when we trust God and His word and His love to rule over every situation that we face, let me tell you something. We are sitting there in the most surreal experience there is because you're watching Christ in you, the hope of glory, take over your life. And that's exactly what happened. Is Joseph believed God's word. He believed God for every step of his life. He was the one that made the statement that they meant it for evil. He knew what his brothers were doing. Wasn't ignorant to that. They were jealous. They didn't like the things that were going down. But he saw in the word of God that this was for his benefit. This was for his eternal gain. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Yeah. Amen? When you can see things like that, and see, Paul got the full living color picture of that because he got the full dispensation. He saw that the privilege, the honor, the glory is to suffer together with Jesus Christ. That's what he got. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28, do you really believe this? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Not some things, all things. Everything in your life, every downsetting, uprising, every success, every failure, as you trust God, and we know, see, we don't doubt, we don't think, we just know it. And why do we know it? Because God says it. And we know that all things work together for good. God's good. And they're all working together. They're not just individual. They're an assortment of pieces for a masterpiece for your life. All of those I wish I had, he's taken those right now and saying, oh, I'm so thankful, Lord, you did it on the cross. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And you know what? Praise be to God. You're a child of God. You're called according to his purpose. Walk in that light. Walk in that life. And he takes all those things and works them together. He's got a perfect, eternal glory plan for every event of your life. And Joseph knew that. Joseph was not set to get even with his brothers. His spiritual heart only longed to be restored with his family. He knew they were wrong, but he longed for restoration. He was confident in the love of God, that the Lord would heal the hearts of all his brethren. Isn't that something? He really did. All he did was hope for that restoration. But see, it wasn't a blind hope. It was an absolute hope. He knew that the love of God covers a multitude of sins. He knew that the love of God could change hearts. Because why? Because he knew that the love of God changed his heart. Joseph had to go through things to learn these things. And praise be to God, in that learning, he knew it wasn't only for him. He knew, praise God, it was for his brethren. That nothing's hard for God. That he is the God of impossible. And that the greatest impossible work is not parting a sea or having manna come down from heaven. It's you and me. That's the greatest impossible work. But see, instead of being sensitive or being hurt, Joseph was tender. And that is what God is looking for. And that's one of the greatest weapons against things that don't bring peace, is being tender. Believing in God's faithful love makes us tender. You see that? Again, it's God that does it, and it's his love that makes us tender. And that's why the Word of God says that his love would abound more and more toward one another. When we are tender to the Word of God, here's what happens. We do not focus on ourselves. You'll never be tender in the Word of God and tender to other people when your life is about you. When every event and everything that happens is predicated upon the outcome of how it affected you. That's a sad place to be when we are self-consumed. When we are tender to the Word of God, what happens? We let God's love reign. Oh, how wonderful that is. It's God's love that reigns when we're tender to the Word of God. It's not my emotion that reigns. It's not my knee-jerk reaction. Again, it kind of goes right back. We don't focus upon ourselves when we're tender to the Word of God. Because why? Because we're like him. Was Jesus ever focused on himself? Never. Couldn't be. He's the perfect one because he's the Lamb. Amen? But what happens when we go after the Lord is we are changed from glory to glory into his image. We are like him. And these are the things that happen when we're tender to the Word of God, to the Father's will, which is the Word. When we are tender to the Word of God, we realize, but for the grace of God, I'm doing that same thing too. You think Joseph had that experience? That but for the grace of God, I would have been throwing my brother in a pit too. I'd have been lying to my dad all these years too. Yeah, I'll tell you, that's what God's Word does. It gives us that kind of tenderness. If you want spectacular relationships, this is one of the greatest, biggest things that are lacking in many a hard heads is when you have been wronged, forgive. Be quick to forgive. You hurt, I know that. But no one remember that God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And finally, as we close up this thought and with Joseph and his brothers, I want you to think about those brothers. You know, for years, years and years and years, they lived with the heartache of what they did to their brother. They lived in that lie, and they kept it from their father. Think of how long they waited to confess what they had done. David was only a year. Those brothers of Joseph, it was a long time. And all of that guilt and all that weight and all that they carried for so long, when all they had to be was quick to apologize and to come forth and say, I am so sorry, I was wrong. God help us to have that heart. And even in times, not just when we're wrong, but how about when we're right, but yet we were rude? Huh? Because as I told my wife, I'm 99% of the time right. That's on a bad day. No, I'm just teasing. But it's the state of the heart. It's not about the right and the wrong. And when we're rude or haughty in our delivery, we were just as damaging, or if not more so, than if we were wrong. And that is the truth. Don't wait to make amends. Don't let that sun go down upon your wrath. I often see men and women trying to remedy something when they messed up. A lot of times, I'm not saying gifts are bad things, but don't rely on gifts. Don't rely on, well, I'm sending a bunch of flowers. I got to tell you something, and I'm not pegging this for anybody, don't get me wrong. My dad always used to tell me, when that guy used to buy flowers every week for his wife, he said, oh, I think he's cheating on her. Sorry, but just because you give gifts doesn't mean a thing. Sometimes when we mess up, we think we can ignore something and just let it go by. David found out that was a big mistake. Sometimes we really never admit we're wrong or apologize and try to cover it up with a lot of different things. But just because we think something is remedied does not necessarily mean that we've got the healing that was needed in our hearts or that other heart in that relationship. Take time for each and every instance of your life. Sow the seeds of forgiveness and love as much as you can. God gave you that precious experience of that trial, whether it was on you or somebody else. Greatest victory you'll ever have in your life. Because maybe you don't have any roots of bitterness, but maybe your kind words and your love towards somebody else will help for the roots of bitterness to be gone from their life too. Just some wonderful thoughts. So we see this, and with any peace, it's always going to be the peace of God that does it. We have the peace of God when we let Him, the truth, and the truth in love live and reign in our lives. And remember this, it's grace that always brings peace. Did you know that? Without grace, you'll never have peace. Amen? So, I believe grace is just unmerited, and you know, just absolutely not earned. All the mercy that you could ever imagine, and so much beyond all of that, love That's the grace of God. And may we be quick to have that readied tongue of love towards one another. So finally, you have your search me, O God. And as you kind of go from here, by the grace of God, am I spiritual? Well, I'm going to say, by the grace of God, you know you are because of the life of Christ that lives in you. But are you walking in the Spirit? Are you, by the grace of God, taking that life of love that lives in you, allowing it to live and being that restorer? Is my heart motivated to restore? Or am I still in that spirit of condemnation and judgment where I'm just kind of sticking everybody? Kind of a little bit like that Pharisee that says, man, I'm glad I'm not like that guy over in the fifth row over there. Lord, have mercy on me. Looking to the mercy of our Lord. Am I tender? Do I really understand that man is weak? And that includes myself, not just everybody else. Am I tender to God's word and willing to be long-suffering with Christ? Because he's the one that does it, so again, he's got to perform that in you. Is there someone I still have not forgiven? Yeah, I heard a couple throats clear there. It's true. Have we? Have we really given it to the Lord to take care of? And if you still remember it, then you really haven't forgiven. Because God's forgiveness actually forgets it. Isn't that something? Boy, we can be on our knees till he comes. That's a good thing. It's not something to fret about or worry about. It's something to praise him and thank him for that he's already taken care of. And then you take what he's already done and that lives in you. And believe it or not, you don't meditate on that anymore because it's forgotten because of the beauty of the Lord that's come in and just filled your life. So, if I still have not forgiven, I am rejecting his perfect love. So therefore, I know I'm bitter, I'm proud, I am self-consumed, and I sure do need to see the cross. It's getting harder, isn't it? Whew. And we still got Wednesday. Get your heads up. Loves you. Loves you. This perfecting that's going on in the saints is mighty, 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 mighty. If you were all done, you wouldn't be here. And that's the truth. And finally, when is the last time I said I'm sorry? And I think this is a good barometer. If it's been more than a week, you've got a problem. Because you've done something to apologize for something to somebody in the last 7 days. Assured. Is true. So, you haven't always been right even in your heart. And apologies are healing things. Saying I'm sorry is mighty. And it is as much for you as it is for the other person. These are wondrous things. God's the one that brings this tenderness. And I appreciate you being attentive, but Lord's dealing with this, isn't he? So he's getting ready those that want to take flight, that this isn't guilt. This isn't something that, again, I just have to be self-consumed with guilt. No, this is, Lord, I know that Christ in me has already finished all of this. I just, by the grace of God, need to let that live. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's stand and be dismissed.